And it is Friday morning, the last day of winter, 2021. Friday, March 19th, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. You are tuned into the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. This program can be heard every Friday live here on WWGH Radio, 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m., repeated on Sunday morning from 8:10 until 9 a.m., and Wednesday afternoon from 3:10 until 4 p.m., and every episode this program has ever produced dating back to 2018 is available on the website wwgh1071.com. Go to Program Archives, and it's the first show you will see as you scroll down the page. By date, you can see them all. The host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker, is here with us. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great. I do want to also add that Jeff's Bicycle Shop in Prospect is also a supporter of ours, along with Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions. So look them up. They serve locally. This morning I want to take just a minute, and I want to talk a little bit about the church and what's going on with it, because we don't usually get time to do that, or I don't take the time and plug it in. We have, on Sundays, we've gone back to one service, and that service is at 10:30 in the morning. Prior to that, at 9:30 in the morning, we do have our Sunday school classes again, from the wee ones all the way up to the adults, and those start at 9:30. Attendance has been good. We have a lot of things. We had a children's meeting the other night, and when I say children, I mean children all the way up through high school. And we had a meeting about some of the plans we have for the summer. We've got some really neat stuff on the board for the summer, so I'm excited about that. People stepping up in those roles and having things for them to do. And going to be some really neat things. I'll keep you guys posted as to dates and times. We still are doing Pizza with Pastor, which is the first Tuesday and the third Thursday of every month, where kids from 13 on up come in and sit around, and they eat pizza, and they talk, and they listen to me, and I listen to them. And you know how it's one of those things where you start one place, and it always goes somewhere else. But it's great to have that time, and for them to talk about what goes on in their life in school and get answers, and it's really neat. I've done this for about, I'm thinking I've done it for about 6 years. 6 or 7 years, and a lot of kids have cycled through over the years, and it's really neat. It's neat to see the kids grow up and where they go and what they do, and it also builds a great rapport there also. But we have three great Bible studies on Wednesday, two of which start at 6:30. The one at 6:30 is there's a women's Bible study at 6:30, and from what I can hear through the walls, they're having a great time. And then I have another Bible study, open Bible study at 6:30, and then another member of the church has a Bible study at their house at 7 o'clock on the same night, which is on Byers Road, which is down towards Delaware a little bit. But we all have a great time, and it's really great to be there and working together, reaching the community, and we're a very, very community-minded church. As most people that know us would tell you, of all the community involvement. But we do all these things to serve the Lord and do what He would call us to do and be the people He'd call us to be. So that's just kind of it in a nutshell. We are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, and our number there is 740-494-2222. If you call and leave a message, even a prayer request, I will take it, and I will get back with you. So there we go.
It's always nice for people to have something in their life when they feel desperate, or they just feel that they need to help somebody. You know what I have noticed a lot more of lately, and this is a good thing, one of the nice things in society, is that I have noticed people who really have something bad will be happening to somebody else, and it really has no reflection on them at all or outcome, but they will do something like that. They'll ask for a prayer request on their behalf, or they will maybe just drop some food off anonymously, or they'll offer to babysit their kids. It's a very nice thing.
You know, I had a couple call in around Christmas time that don't attend the church. They're in the local community. Actually, I had a couple different couples call in, and it was kind of the same thing. It was, hey, Pastor, we've got some money that we want to give, but we want to make sure that it gets to a specific needy family. We don't need to know who they are. We just want to make sure it gets there. And I love those calls, because a call like that, an anonymous call, as far as them not wanting anyone to know where it came from and them not needing to know who it went to tells me where their heart is. Their heart is truly in the giving process and not in the recognition of it. And
well, you know, that is a big thing now, because I look at these, and I'm not saying it's wrong in any way. If you want to give, give. But the recognition that people get for giving, now that I don't know. I think it was okay in the beginning, because I think most of the time the people recognizing them had nothing to do with them, and they may have not wanted to be recognized. I see with some people now that the whole reason I think they're giving is to get some recognition. Mm-hmm. And that, I'll tell you the biggest one that bothers me, and it's not wrong, but when people give money and the bartering chip from the person who wants the money, the charity, is we'll name something after you. Mm-hmm. We'll name a street. We'll put a brick up. And I don't understand that. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. But if that's why you're doing it, I mean, does the cause have anything at all to do with this?
Yeah, you got a good point. I had a guy several years ago that his mother had passed, and he decided that he wanted to give the bulk of what was left after everything was divided to a church, and our church specifically was at the top of his list. And he got a hold of me, and he wanted a Sunday designated in her name, and talk about his mother, and he wanted several other things. And I just told him, I said, you know, we really appreciate all your mom's done, and she was a great lady, and I appreciate the fact that you want to do something with this, but I can't do that. I can't do that. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, God gives us all equally in his gifts, and it just seems in different ways, because his heart's the same in everyone, but different people have different things. Some are financially better off than someone else. And the truth is, why do you celebrate that person that's financially better off when there's someone that may be much more giving that you're not doing any of that for? I think that now, and a different side of that coin is that, like at our Veterans Memorial in Prospect, beautiful memorial, that was all done through donations, but you can still buy a brick, and you can put your relative or your friend's name, their branch of service, and their rank in that stone and put it out there. I think that's wonderful, to recognize family service and things family do. And I think sometimes if an organization, even a church, has something that they would like to honor somebody with for their service or what they've done, with a name on it, like the Scott Spears Annex, because Scott had done so much, you know, I think that, I don't see anything wrong with that. But when people require it to get their, you know, I see that as different. But it's interesting we brought this up this morning, because I want to read a passage. The passage I had pulled up this morning is in Mark, and it's chapter 10, and beginning in verse 17. And I think a lot of you will be familiar with this. It says, as he was sitting, we're talking about Jesus, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, do not, and honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, I have kept all these since my youth. Well, the first thing he did there was he lied, because I don't believe there's anybody that can 100% of the time keep the Ten Commandments. It's just we're not physically able to do that, or mentally. Looking at him, Jesus loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. He said, okay, I'm going to give you that. If you've kept all the commandments, we're going to proof text this a little bit. You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. What Jesus is doing here is he's probing the man's heart. Then come and follow me. So he's saying, okay, if this is who you really are, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. But he was dismayed by this demand, and he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Isn't that interesting?
You know what's interesting to me when it comes, when I think about the Ten Commandments and that passage, is that almost breaking any of the Ten Commandments, which, you know, it's impossible, as you said, to keep it all up. But usually, in some way, either before or after, it has to do with a lie, the whole issue. You know, no matter, like...
You're bowing to a false idea.
Yeah, or you're trying to cover up that you've done it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's more of what I meant to say. You're going to have to say that you've covered those things, you're going to lie, because in some way, even in honor your father and mother, how far do you take that honoring? What's dishonor? And, boy, I can't. I'll be honest with you. I've definitely dishonored my parents at some point, and I can't think of anyone that hasn't. But it's interesting that it said one of the things he was dismayed about was he was told to let his possessions go. And then it says because he had a lot of possessions. And I think possessions many times get in the way of our heart and of our life and what we're supposed to be doing. I don't have anything wrong with possessions. I believe all things come through God and through his purpose. You have them. When you have those possessions, of course, he's reiterating here too, look, if you have these things, use them like this. Don't let your heart be ruled by your bank account.
You know what's funny when it comes to possessions? This is interesting to me because it's sometimes how the exact same possession can be viewed totally different by two different people.
Right.
You know, I one that comes to my mind is when I first started in radio, I wanted to keep track of the people I was interviewing. So one way I used to do that was when I would interview somebody, I would have them sign a piece of paper, and I would put it in a book, and that, well, a lot of times they would have it was an autograph.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not really, I'm not into autographs. I just wanted it to say, okay, I remember interviewing that person, and I have that book, and I stopped doing that long ago because the book got too full, but that's what it is to me. It's a book, it's up in the closet, couldn't even tell you the last time I saw it. That's all it means to me. It's full of people I have interviewed. Now, at the same time I was doing this, a friend saw me do this, and they aren't interviewing these people. They wanted the autograph, and it's become, over years for them, something big. It's a big hobby. Now, when I hear them, they talk about the price of these autographs. And it's even turned into items now that have been autographed. And I think, you know, I have this book of autographs. It may be worth nothing. It may be worth something. But means nothing to me that
sure.
way.
Do you know because
But for him, the exact same thing, totally different.
Totally different. I do think that as we acquire more things, we become more thing-centered, and we worry about keeping them, and we worry about, oh no, what if I don't have this? Something that never would have bothered you before. And you're right, it is interesting how two different people look at something. I know of a particular lady that comes to mind, not from Marion County, so everybody take a breath of relief. Every 5 years or so, she has to have a new house. She's bored with the old one, and she has to have an upgrade. But at the same time, there are people that would look at her because of the house she lives in now and would be coveting where she lives now. But see, her coveting went away. She's off to covet something else. And we got to be careful that doesn't get in the way in our life, because life's a very precious thing. And life is something that is meant to be lived in love and grace and peace, and the Bible talks about long suffering and being charitable, and everyone's, oh, that stuff sounds so boring. I'll wait till I'm 80 and do that stuff. But the truth is, we can have real peace and joy in our life if it's there now.
Well, you know what? Once you get past monetary value of things and trying to fill your hole with that, and I believe that's what most of these people are trying to do, is fill some kind of a void in their life. Once you get past that, that's when you really begin to enjoy things that don't have anything to do with money. You know, places you go, times you have.
Oh, absolutely.
And it becomes a totally different thing, but you've got to get past that idea that going shopping and buying a new car, that temporary happiness you have for a month or so, you got to get past that at some point.
I agree. I think that if I've ever been a person that has really wanted money at any point, it is for peace of mind. In other words, man, I'd like to pay this off. I'd like to, so I have peace of mind, and I don't want to get in that shape again. And it's, there's so much peace to not being strapped down by needing things. But you know, the best way to get rid of things is to systematically pay them off and get rid of that debt. Don't acquire more things. I talked to another lady about 2 years ago that was, we were at a joint youth venture, and we just started a conversation. She was elderly at that point. And she said, we're in the hardest point right now of our lives. She was taught to, you know, people have a tendency to come up to the pastor and just start laying everything out, right? Whether they're a parishioner or not. And she told me, she said, we have worked our whole lives to accumulate this massive empire we've built, just to put it in lay terms. And now we're at a point where it takes so much time and energy to keep this empire going. We just don't want it anymore. What are we going to do with it? And but then at the same time, it would be an interesting question to ask. What if someone asks you to give it to the poor? Keep enough to live on and give it to the poor. So really, sometimes we get to that point where things become a burden, and we spend the rest of our lives trying to hang on to them. I have seen more elderly people that, and this is not the case with most, I really believe that most of our elderly right now really struggle with making ends meet and with prescriptions, and it's a heavy burden on them. But I have seen couples, or met one of the two, that may have amassed quite a bit, and they're scared to death to spend a dime of it, and they're living horribly. You know, they're living in a state of, boy, they could have more comfort than they do, and they could have someone coming in and helping to clean that house, or, you know, helping them with their daily needs. But they're afraid of letting go of that money, and that's really, I think that's really a sad situation.
You know, one of the funniest things I ever saw, and it's sad in a way, but it was funny, that there was a person who was involved in a big business. Now, it was a conglomeration business, so there were several people involved. I don't know if it was four or five people, basically, who had the business. And there was one person who was just extremely concerned because they were not fully aware of the financials. Now, the business was running every day, and it was clearly doing well. But they did not know exactly what was going in and what was going out, so that really, really, really bothered them. But they also did not have any clue of how to run the business if the other people would have left. And I said to the person one day, because this was a long-term complaint of theirs, I said, and I didn't have anything to do with the business, but I said, you know, you could have $1 million in the bank. Let's say you find out that there's $1 million that this business has made. If you can't run it without that person, how long is that going to last when they leave? Yeah, learn that part first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A funny thing, too, you know, we just got the second round or third round, I don't know, whatever round it was, of stimulus that came out. And people got like $1,400 an adult if they're under a certain income level. And I find it interesting that so many people I've talked to said, you know, this is ridiculous. We're going to have to pay this back someday, and I really didn't need it. And a guy asked me yesterday, he said, Pastor, did you lose any income during this whole pandemic? And I said, not really, no. And a lot of people can honestly say that. Their jobs weren't affected, but they still got this thing, okay? But they'll say, you know, I didn't really need it, okay? You didn't need it. Now, some people will say, I'm just going to put it back for a rainy day. But a lot of those people, if you would say, look, here is a nonprofit charity here. Here's a church that's trying to do this in this direction and this and that. Why don't you just give it to them? It'd be interesting to see, even though they said that they didn't need it and they got it, how many of them would do that?
Well, nobody does it, because it's much like Social Security, and the politics of this are not the point. The point are, there are so many people who have a problem with divvied up money, however you want to call it, whatever name you want to put on. I one time sent a letter into the government, and because of privacy laws, they can't give you exact names or anything like that. How many people, billionaires, are giving back their Social Security? Clearly don't need it.
None.
Nobody's sending back their Social Security. Nobody's sending it to a charity.
I think we've had two presidents that have given back their salary. They didn't need it. And quite frankly, just about all of them didn't need it, if you really think about it. Maybe back in the first 100 years of the presidency, possibly. But since then, you know, they tend to accumulate quite a bit, either before or once they get in office, but they don't really give it back. And I think that's a lot of what this passage speaks to. If your heart's in the right place, do what's right. And really, I believe that when we have excess, and I mean real excess, we need to find what's right to do with it rather than saying, well, I'm going to go out and spend $80,000 on a fancy pickup truck because everyone's going to see what I'm driving.
You know, it's funny, and I don't even think people remember this, so I can say this, but this used to be a joke in Marion County for a long time, and people will just have to guess on this one. But we've had one mayor in the history of Marion County, certainly recent history, who refused the salary. Now, they ran on this. I'm refusing the salary. I don't need it.
He didn't refuse it.
Well, he did.
No, he didn't.
No, this
because
mayor
he
did.
Used it, he used that to run on. He was using it in a completely different way.
But what he did was, he never did take the salary, so he did pay off on that promise. But what he did when he was mayor was he owned a construction company. So he leaned on city council people to use his construction company. Now, I can't say honestly, leaned is a bad word because I wasn't there. Let's say that because he was the mayor and because city council knew that was his construction company, they tended to use it more than... So he made more money for a decision that turning down that salary, he turned down $60-something thousand dollars a year. He made $200,000 a year he would have never made.
So, in a way, though, think about that, what you just talked about. He really did inadvertently take that money.
Oh, he did.
Not just with the construction thing, but by using it as a platform in which to win the campaign. There's probably monies that he didn't have to spend because that was his big number one platform. In a roundabout way, he used the situation. He may not have taken the money and used it dollar for dollar, but he used the situation.
That's what, give me the mayor, governor, or president who we don't know didn't take a salary.
Right.
Then I'll be a little more altruistic about the whole thing.
Well, I think in today, even if there was one, with the transparency what's done with things, that everybody would know in a minute. But, I see what you're saying. And that's part of the thing, too, when someone gives a great amount to a certain organization, it often comes with, I want my name on this, I want my name on them, which ultimately comes back and benefits them anyway. And, is it really wrong that people know that someone does something kind? No, it's not. I go back to that story of Ananias and Sapphira. I say the sin they committed was not the fact that they didn't give all the money from the sale of this land to be used. The sin committed was they wanted to make everyone to believe they gave it all. And there's where it was. They told a lie. And the whole point of what we're getting at here, or the passage I read, is how much we can let material things, situations, our lives. You know, we can covet time that we spend away from home with people. We can covet a lot of different things. Like, hey, look, nobody takes my weekend at the lake away, that kind of a thing. We can covet those things, and they in turn become an idol that keeps us from getting down to the people that we're meant to be and who we should be and the loving people we should be.
You know, ultimately, doesn't it fall back on you, though? I mean, you know why you did what you did. Now, if you believe, really, that you did the best you could, and you did it for altruistic reasons,
goes back to intent, though.
Yeah, I guess it's okay. Because, you know, it's just like being under oath. Have you ever heard how many people who are put under oath for whatever reason can give the same answer, but one will pass the test and one will not pass the test? Because one truly did believe they were doing it for that reason, right, and one did not. But you will never know, unless, you know, truth serum is pulled out one day, exactly That's why I find it very hard to judge people in general.
It's a good idea, Scott, because in truth, it's what their heart's intent is. I'll give you an example. I've had several conversations about with people that have said, man, you know, these people are just blowing money. They're taking their money and they're blowing it, and they could be paying for this, could be paying their bills. Okay, I was in a restaurant in town after the stimulus, this last few days of stimulus came out. And I was eating my breakfast, and there was a lady that came in with five or six little ones. I think they were hers. They called her mommy, and they are in those stages. I could see it, you know, like every couple of years. But anyway, she's sitting down, and she's telling them to eat whatever they get, whatever you want on the menu. This is your treat. Now, two ways that could be looked at. Somebody could say, well, I see they're using their stimulus wisely, tongue-in-cheek. Or maybe they could say, how wonderful it is. Here's a mom that finally has something that she can use to take these kids out for a day and make them feel special and have that one-on-one mom and kids time with them where they feel like they're as special as everyone else that has this all the time. And I just want them to... So you see the two different searches, but it's the person on the outside that is judging it one way or the other.
Right, and I never understand that. You know, I opened up the show this morning because this is, have no relevance here, but they're talking now about everybody who's posting their vaccine card on social media, that people are starting to steal information because your name and your social security, not social security, but your date of birth are on these cards, and people are taking those and then going to the dark side of the internet and pulling other information. So don't post your card when you get vaccinated.
Never post your information
anywhere. So, but the point this morning I was making was, I'm shocked. Okay, if you want to get the vaccination for your, whether it's age, stage, illness, belief, non-belief, whatever, that's you. There are so many people on the extremes of that, and they're judging that person. Who cares? You know, that person did what they thought was best. Why do I have to come in from the outside, just like that woman who's bought all that food for her kid? Why is it my place to judge them for doing what they did? I don't understand it.
Well, I think that as people, we have natural curiosity about a lot of things, but I think in that natural curiosity, it kind of shows, especially once you verbalize it or put it out there, you're thinking, it shows really where your heart's at. If you're a bitter person that's always looking for the negative, you're going to talk about that horrible thing that parent just did and how wasteful it was. And on the other hand, you know, if you're a person that loves families and loves to see families together, you're going to see the precious moment of that. It all goes back to you. It all goes back to your heart. It all goes back to what your intent is. You know, I know people that have a lot of money, and they're the most generous people in the world. And because of their generosity, it just keeps on coming. And they give it away, they help, they do all they can, and that's their biggest desire. But on the other hand, there's the other kind of people. They're scared to death of losing it. I find the intent of your heart comes out very easily sometimes, just by what you say. And there's some people that no matter what said, they've got to come back with sarcasm every time. And, you know, they're the ones I think you need to sit down and sit aside and say, you know, what's really going on with you? You know, can't you see the bright side of this for a moment? Can't you see the good side of this for a moment? And, you know, back to the vaccine, I'll tell you what, I have seen false truths about the vaccine at both ends of the spectrum, the pro and the con. And the ones that are clear out in those wings, they're pretty adamant about some things that aren't true.
But, you know, the whole term judgment, no matter what it is funny to me because... Okay, I'm the only person I'm really ever in control of. I can say that I can direct people, I can give advice, I can try to give orders, whatever. The only person I make 100% of the decisions for is myself, ever, ever.
Absolutely.
So
that goes for all of us.
And absolutely. And but here's the problem with this. Okay, if that is true, and it is, if I'm the one making 100% of the decisions about me, now even though I might believe in any case, how people spend their money, how people get vaccinated, what people believe, whatever it is, if I believe they're doing it wrong, what good does it do me to tell them they're doing it wrong? it's not going to impact my future.
I agree. I have a couple people that I know of. It does not matter what statement I make or how positive it is. They come back with a what if, or no, you're not looking at it this way. Or they try to pick it apart. And, you know, usually I just say, oh, well, and blow it off. It's best to blow it off and go on. It really is. Even in a, I think we've all been in situations where there's people that have done wrong things or are continuing to do wrong things to you. And you know that the best thing to do is to walk away from that. You will never get anywhere by you'll never get anywhere by arguing with that person, because they're just going to make it louder and bigger, and they don't have enough. You can't calm them down enough to have them look to reason and have an honest conversation about something. So sometimes you have to walk away. But it's interesting too, you talk about, you know, the control you have of just yourself. You know, when I give a message on Sunday morning, I always ask God to lead me and direct me in what I'm saying, and to touch people's hearts, that it's something that they need for their life, that they use it. And the Bible tells me that, you know, that the most, if we need to draw close to God, the best way to do it is through His Word and through the Holy Spirit guiding our lives. And the only way you're going to know what's in His Word is to read it and to know it. So I give a message on Sunday, and I talk about a particular passage, and we talk about it, and I try to relate it to people's lives today and all those things. I have to make a decision whether I'm going to live what I'm saying. And the people sitting in front of me, I can't force them to believe or follow or do and act one word I say, and I have to realize that. Now, people have tried to get around that and get what I call a false success in their messaging. And what I mean by that is they try to mood control the situation with mood. They try to, maybe with lighting, maybe with all these things that are geared towards getting people to calm and accept. Well, if the Bible tells me that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's the Word of God that directs, divides, and does all these things, why do I need all this exterior stuff to make them feel like it's accepting and get a mood right so they seem to be more accepting even though they aren't? And I think we spend a lot of time sometimes thinking we can convince people to behave, be a certain way if they behave a certain way. I heard a Christian music artist, I guess they're called now. They used to call them music ministers, but that wasn't catching anyone, so they call them artists now. And say that he had a great fear that we were converting people to Christian lifestyle, but converting very few of those same people to Christ. Isn't that an interesting statement? Think about that. They're getting the music, they're getting the mood, they're getting the talk, they're getting the walk, but the bottom line is, it's between you and Christ. And are they turning to Christ? This rich young man, this rich young ruler, we only know that he's a ruler because another passage it states that he is, that a comparative passage. He wants eternal life. He wants to know, Master, Teacher, what do I need? Jesus tells him, you know, sell everything you have, give it to the poor. Let's start with a fresh from right here and follow me. And he said, well, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that to get to you. And the bottom line is, that's the only starting point. Now, what the rich young ruler didn't realize was that who's to say that when he started following Christ, he wouldn't gain all that stuff back? But he wasn't going to take that chance. And that's why, you know, the Bible tells us to put everything aside and follow Christ and what he says to do. And another passage, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All those things that you think you need, that you have to have now, if they're the right thing for you, you know, let God take care of what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. And we don't, many times, in most Christian circles, there's not a lot of people seeking first the kingdom of God, because if they were, they wouldn't have to sometimes play smoke and mirrors and look like they got it when they don't.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the show is all about. I get that maybe makes them feel better, makes them feel like they're doing something. I don't know. Maybe makes them feel like they can draw more people in. Maybe that's the motivation. I really don't know. You know, I recently saw a letter from, I'm going to call it a religious organization. I think they call it a church, but it's a, we'll say that. And, you know, asking for money to make their organization bigger. Bigger buildings, bigger whatever. Now, you know, I guess if people want to do that, that's fine. But I don't... are they in need of this? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, in our case, we have a building fund right now, by the way. And the reason being is because if we don't replace our 160-year-old roof, we're going to have a lot of internal problems.
Now, that's a need.
And that's a true need.
Yeah.
And it's needed for a long time. And as far as I think that sometimes we need long-range plans because as people we need to be motivated. But I think that, first of all, if I heard this really great from a pastor one time that used to be in our town when there was going to be an annex, a new building and whatnot, and he hit the nail on the head. He said, until we're utilizing everything we have now for the cause of Christ and doing what we're supposed to do, we don't need any more room. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I think that's true.
That's true. And I think that a lot of times these things are built as, the old thing, build it and they'll come, that kind of a thing. And I think that then you'll see these same venues needing to lease out and bring performers and stuff in to make sure the building can sustain itself. And they're constantly, every service, asking for money. If that's the way they do things, that's fine. I fear that today our church is beginning to look more like a corporate model than a spiritual model.
You know, these big buildings, to be honest with you, I would even feel more comfortable with them if they were helping the community in any, like, oh, you know, come in here and do your school program. Come in here and...
And some do.
Some do. Most don't. Most come in. You know, I'll tell you, insurance has become a big deal in that sort of situation. You know, you bring people in from the outside. You want to have liability insurance on. I would love for a church, and it's just because we're talking about that, but I'd love for a lot of other groups to do this as well. But I'd love for one of these big churches, if you can afford this big a building, I know you got some money somewhere around here, if they would say, oh, you know, I would like to use this room for this particular reason, and the church would say, you know what, and we're going to pay the $100 for the liability insurance that night. What a nice thing that would be, without having to ask.
It would be a nice thing, and I think, but then there's other things that come into play, too, especially now in this culture. If there's a particular thing you don't agree with, I'll just give you an example because it's been out there so much. A lot of most churches in America, fundamental Bible-believing churches, most of them don't like same-sex marriages. Just put that out there. And the thing is, the way the law is written today, if you do that, if you say the Boy Scouts want to come in and use it for an afternoon, you let the Boy Scouts in, that means you've let a secular organization in to do it, and you cannot refuse that other group to come in and do it. So there's some certain things they have to do. And most of them are contractual. But once you have a contract in place, what you agree with, what you allow in the building, and what you don't, you're in pretty good shape there. But I think a lot of the churches are afraid of, look, if I let this start, I don't want to set a precedent that's going to take us away from our intent and what we're doing. And so that's got to be paid attention to also. But I wholly agree with you. When we were in our infancy, we were meeting at the Senior Center in Prospect. And the interim pastor at the Prospect Baptist Church across the street came over and introduced himself. And he had a talk with me. Wonderful man. I loved him dearly. When he completely retired from everything, he gave me his desk that he'd used in his entire life. I loved him very much. But he came over and he said to me, we have a building that we're using for 1 hour a week right now. And he said, where are you guys meeting? Oh, we're meeting here on Wednesdays and we're paying for Wednesday also. Well, you just start meeting in our church. You don't need to pay anything. He said, that's a waste. There's a building right here. You can meet on Wednesday. So we did. And it wasn't very long because some other people within the organization were saying, man, we need some money out of this. But that's neither here nor there. But he has his heart had the right intent. He said, if you got any baptisms to do, use our baptistry. And I think that's wonderful. I was actually, when I was 7 years old, on my dad's birthday, which I didn't realize until a couple years ago when I found the certificate that it was on my dad's birthday. I must have forgot. But I was baptized in at Memorial Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. And the reason I was baptized there is because the church that we attended were building and didn't have a baptistry yet. But that church said, just come over and use ours. And I think that you're right. I think they need to open up those venues and let them. We're supposed to bring people in. You know, the church is a body of people, not a building. The building is nothing but a facility to be used for the church. You and I are the church. You know, the people that accept Christ are what he called, you are the church. And we've come in America to look at the church as a building that you go to.
Well, you know, it's interesting because with about 2 minutes left here, I have known and seen many churches just in Marion County either lose their building or it became old and condemned or they just had a break off of that particular organization. And these people were looking for buildings and they have met in very not churches. They have met in buildings that were not churches.
Right.
That's fine by me. But, you know, when they get their building, are they going to do that for other people? Most of the time, not, and that's the unfortunate part.
Something real interesting about our association in Columbus, we belong to the Metro Baptist Association in Columbus, Ohio, and most, you would be really surprised. I came in here one day, and I read all the different, off all the different ethnic groups and whatnot that have started church. Most of those all started in other churches, and they would, like, okay, we're going to have a service at 11. We'll be out of here by noon. You guys can start at 12:30, and they share that space. And that's the true spirit of what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be like. It truly, truly is. And, good conversation today.
It has been. I enjoy this because I think these are certainly issues that do have to do with the church, which most things are in some way or another, but they're also, you know, do people think about that? Do people think, you know, if you are mowing your neighbor's lawn just to mow your neighbor's lawn and you don't go knock on their door and tell them you did it, good. But if you have to knock on their door, maybe examine why you have to do that. Why do you have to tell them? What's the reason?
Today it's liability.
Sometimes there is that. There is always that. Well, I do want to let people know real quick before we're out of here that this program can be heard on Sunday morning, 8:10 a.m. to 9 a.m. and Wednesday, 3:10 to 4 p.m. Those are the repeats. And live again a week from today, next Friday morning. First Friday in spring next Friday, 11:10 a.m. to noon with 10 seconds left, Pastor. Wrap it up.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Point 1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from?
I made it up.
Really?